This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
I should start by welcoming you in to another edition of In the Loop. Happy Wednesday to you. It is indeed Wednesday, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. The problem is the more that we talk about this running thing, the more that I think we're actually going to have to do it, which is the worst part of it.
I'm kind of getting mad.
I like it in theory. I even kind of appreciate that people think that I'll be, you know, pretty good at this. I hate having to actually back it up.
I know I have it in me to at least beat Sean, but my knees and my back, I'll be in traction for a week.
Yeah.
I'll be in traction for a week.
That should be part of the scoring system. Yeah. How do you feel the week?
How
after?
Long is the bounce back?
I can tell you. That's why I stopped. That's why I stopped running.
Well, you know, it'd be a great sales opportunity because a massage company would have to just come through and get us all right, because otherwise we'd take the week off. The whole week of programming after would be off because none of us would be able to get back up.
You know what? I'm trying to think right now. If it's me racing Lopez, would I rather beat Lopez and Lopez feel fine afterwards, or would I rather lose to Lopez but he's in traction for a week? What would I gain more satisfaction?
Oh, the latter.
I think the latter.
The latter.
That's not true, John.
Kind of is.
Fair enough. All right. Let's get going on a Wednesday. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. You guys are already answering the question of the day. We'll get to that at 1040. But also, another way to get involved is courtesy of the Moak Harem Injury Lawyers live stream. On the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. And ladies and gentlemen, I say this with actually a lot less satisfaction than I would hope. Mm-hmm. We have a 53-man roster for your Houston Texans.
We do.
And the reason
for now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because there is a number of oddities on this that really leans into the Nick Caserio kind of perspective of, we don't view this as a 53-man. Mm-hmm. We view this as a, what is it, 69 or 70-man roster with the additional 17 practice squads. And it makes sense because some of the stuff that happened really caught me by surprise. Now, of course, you could just look at this and go, all right, some of these things might say something about these guys. What were your interpretations from the final 53-man roster that we actually got yesterday?
Five things came to mind immediately. And I'm just going to go down the list. This is in no particular order. I'm looking at their final 53 like you did, like everybody saw. And I saw three quarterbacks.
It'd be weird if you had a different 53.
That'd be hilarious. Like, let's send Lopez.
Wait, how did you get a bootleg 53-man roster? Where did that come from?
Wait a minute. Mine has Russ Yeast. No. So three quarterbacks. That's not going to be the case, I don't think, for long. Well,
you sure?
He's going to be on the 53. But here, this is my interpretation of it. Graham Mertz was good enough, especially in the last preseason game, that the Texans believed someone would get him. someone would pick him up. It's a quarterback, needy league. He's a rookie. He was good. He clearly is smart. So they had to keep him. They had to put him on the 53 because I think they were worried that he might end up somewhere else. That's number one.
I think you go further than that. If it, mm-hmm. it's beyond just, sorry, he was solid or whatever. I think they view him as the heir apparent to back up for C.J. Stroud.
Ultimately, yes. That's part of it. 100%. But I think they were worried.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think they were worried.
I mean, that would be the reason why you mm-hmm. ultimately keep him on the 53, man, yeah. is that you don't think you can get him to the practice squad because quarterback is the place where you absolutely are fine with getting a guy to the practice squad because of the emergency quarterback thing. You mm-hmm. can save yourself a valuable roster spot
yes.
by having your third quarterback actually be on the practice squad, and you could just elevate him when you need him as an emergency quarterback. Mm-hmm. That is an incredible rule to help this team out. But they decided – now, we don't want to go that route for fear that he gets, that waivers end up taking him somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I think you do that not just because you like him, but because you go, we have one more year of Davis Mills on this contract. I don't know that you pay for Davis Mills to continue to be the backup.
Yeah.
We need to have somebody that we feel has the system down pat and not just go next year and find somebody in the offseason. And it feels like they're mm-hmm. grooming Graham Mertz to be that.
No, that is absolutely the case. The second thing that jumped out, and I'm just going down the list. British Brooks, man. I had a hunch the whole
Reggie
time.
Was over here hating. And British Brooks said, I don't care about it, man. Yeah. I'm going to be on this roster.
No Jakob, and British Brooks makes the squad. I was actually kind of happy for him, not because I was predicting that he might make the squad, but the guy was here last year and proved himself. And, I think that was ultimately the final check, the box that they checked. He's been here. They didn't change. I mean, they changed offenses, but not special teams very much. It's the same system, same thing they're doing on special teams. So that was number two.
And he's a standout special teamer. It's really not just good. That he's, he knows the system. Mm-hmm. He makes plays and he makes hits. Mm-hmm. And being able to do that on special teams matters. Like, when you don't have those guys, that's when you give up an additional 15 yards on returns. He goes, he gets down the field, he makes mm-hmm. hits. And then it seems like they have a level of respect with him in offense. I don't know how much he'll factor in, but special teams, he keeps showing up.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to show up on special teams. So I do.
No.
I think that's
especially all special teams, which I thought all along was going to help him.
Especially, and they lost a couple of those guys that you would go, are they going to be special teams aces?
Yeah.
So I get that to some respect to, give somebody for Frank Ross to have that side of the ball look good.
Third thing, and I know you're going to have some thoughts on this, 7 wide receivers, including Justin Watson. Interesting to me. I thought Berrios would make the squad. He did. But Justin Watson is the 7th wide receiver. A little bit of a surprise there, especially as you combine it with 2 tight ends.
That's the thing, right? We've leaned into the notion of former tight end coach Nick Caley, and he loves him some 12 personnel and having those 2 tight end sets. Mm-hmm. Is he going to go crazy with it and get 3 tight end sets? All that. You have 2 tight ends on the roster as of right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I do wonder... if there's a third one, is it a Luke Lachey on the practice squad? Is mm-hmm. it a Irv Smith who maybe gets in there? Is it a Harrison Bryan returning at some point? Like, these are all possibilities because, again, this initial 53-man roster ain't even the 53-man roster you're going to see for week 1 of the season in, what is that, 11 days or whatever? So that is understood. But even with that, you would need to figure out what's happening. And it seems like they're leaning into the idea that, hey, we have a lot of wide receivers that we trust. And they might utilize him, right? Mm-hmm. That even if they find a way to get another tight end on the roster or maybe a practice squad with call-ups, you would have to get rid of a wide receiver in the future if you wanted to do some level like balancing of this, I imagine.
Right.
This seems like it says something about how they like these wide receivers, which I think is easy to get to because mm-hmm. there's reason to like all 7 of them. But maybe even more so, how Nick Caley maybe intends to use them.
Absolutely, that's it.
And I am intrigued by that because, again, I've had questions about how much this line is holding up for longer durations, for more deep developing routes if they do that. And I feel like that might be more. You might be more inclined to do some of that if you have 3-man, 3-man or 3 wide receiver formations or 4 wide receiver formations that might come up.
I always say it, man. Watch what they do, not what they say. And what they did was they had 7 wide receivers. That leads right into the versatility that you're going to have with these wide receivers. Maybe even in the backfield occasionally, as decoys or not. And then the 2 tight ends, very bizarre to me. That could change, probably will change at some point. Nevertheless, and then the last thing.
Wait, real quick before you get that in, from the 281, you got to remember Justin Watson played a lot of tight end sets in Kansas City. I mean, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe even, you know, use them that way.
Watson is one guy. Xavier Hutchinson we've seen kind of in maybe some, like, big slot situations. Maybe those kind of are the alterations here. But it is still kind of notable, worthwhile.
And then the last thing, 10 defensive linemen, including both Tommy Togiai and Folo Fatukasi, which to me was a little bit, I don't know if that struck you as odd, but it was a little bit to me.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, what
is a lot?
What, 10 defensive linemen plus there's still guys on your injured reserve that stand to come back. This again feels like we're not done here. We just can't. We're unwilling to let go of what happens, and it's just they're not really too much respecters of that 53 man number. Is ultimately what I took away from the large part of this is we just want to see by hook or by crook if we can keep as many of the guys that we like, and we'll figure out how to finagle it once we get to playing football. And as we continue playing football, because another part of this, in addition to the idea that you have these weird numbers of, you know, guys in various rooms, which I guess weird is kind of a judgmental term that I don't necessarily want to use there.
Yeah.
They also have I think this is a official term, a metric bleep load of dudes in injured reserve situations and stuff that very well could end up coming back in various places. Like, I think that those also are interesting, that or guys that they that feel like wink, wink, will get you back here somehow, some way.
Yeah.
It feels like there's just so many more of those opportunities for this roster to morph and change, not just before the first week of the season, but in the first 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks of the season. I could still see a lot of machinations happening that changes this roster.
And then I'm curious your thoughts on this one as well, because my initial thought was, I'll be dog. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is on the 53, so he's gonna be around. Now, I don't know when. But he's going to be around.
And I think I resigned myself to that when, after the scary injury that we were like, oh, is this going to take him out for the season or a majority of the season or at least the first four games? Very quickly, when it was like, actually, we escaped the scariest parts of this. And the, you know this as a reporter. Reporters will report what they can actually stand behind. But they might get some more information that maybe influences the way that they color a report.
Right.
The coloration of the reports that we got for C.J. Gardner-Johnson was like, oh, yeah, no, he could play week one. And I think that might have been they're kind of looking for him to play week one. We'll see, because you don't want to say that definitively. Maybe I haven't gotten reports that could put me in that place, but it looks good. And as of right now, it feels like it looks really good. I mean, even Caserio today, and we'll get to some of the things that he said in his meeting with the Assemble Media, he said, like, there's still, like, what, 10, 11 days till the game? We'll see what it looks like for him, which, again, seems to be like they're putting him in place for possibly week one or at the very latest week two to play for your team.
Yeah, no, and it surprises me. I mean, we saw the injury. We saw, you know, the reaction, et cetera. That dude must be made out of rubber or something, because it looked a lot worse than it's going to end up being. Then we also saw him, even though he was wearing a brace, you know, we saw him walking around on the practice field, what, 4 or 5 days later? He was already out on the practice field walking around during one of the joint practices. And just as far as like a sweeping take of the entire 53, you know, if you like you look at it all, you sort of absorb it and you look at it all. I feel like we're kind of shortchanging this, what this offense might be, you know, because we're not going to have Joe Mixon, obviously. I think the depth of this offense, the fact that they kept all those wide receivers, all those running backs, I think they're feeling pretty good about it. Either they were going to lose them or they feel pretty good about the guys that they have on the offense.
One more time for me.
I just feel like this offense, we probably shortchanged it a little bit, the confidence level that they have in running the ball and their wide receivers, because that's a lot of them. Their skill positions are deep.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Quantity does not inherently mean quantity, though, or quality rather, but I mean, they like a lot of these guys, and you can see why. Like, it's not like they're deluding themselves with these guys. You've seen with all the guys that they keep running back wise, you've seen them, for the most part, Damian Pierce is the one that I think more recently that you go,
yeah,
what are we seeing? But I mean, again, we've seen at least him be at the level that you want at some point in his career, and maybe they're chasing that. We can debate that at another point, but you've seen these guys, these various running backs deliver, and so it's not a stretch. It's just interesting when you, again, if you were looking at what we'd imagine to be a finished 53-man roster, like fully polished and ready to go for the entirety of the season, you got some numbers that kind of fluctuate in an interesting way. But I think it's I'm a lot more confident knowing kind of the way that they have, and the, knowing also the way that they view this, and that they're going to have practice squad, and they're going to make most of the use of those three call-ups for a practice squad, and they're going to, you know, move guys around on the roster. I feel good about the depth that they're establishing in damn near all of the roster.
Yeah.
It's just now, right, you figure out that depth, you have your starters largely kind of figured. Now it's just how do you play the football games? Because that's all that remains. Like, what does the offense actually look like in these football games?
Yeah.
How much better can the defense actually be? For how much more can you wring? No, not even worry, but how much more can you wring out of what was already a really good defense?
Sure.
Those are the questions that really matter as we start to move forward, because those are the questions that are going to determine your altitude as a team. Are you going to be another a team that just wins the AFC South again, maybe one game and out again, or are you going to be a team that pushes now further into into that tournament and maybe into the upper echelon of the AFC?
Yeah.
A lot of things are happening with your Houston Texans as we're starting to get an idea somewhat about what this team will be for week one, Los Angeles Rams on the 7th of September. But coming up next, Nick Caserio talked to the media about the 53-man cut down. There were some interesting things, including what he did not say about Joe Mixon. We'll talk about that more next.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
That's a terrible cackle. I don't think I ever acknowledged that. That's really
bad. Man, stop being hard on yourself,
man.
I just told him that
before we turned the mic on.
Never.
You're too hard on yourself.
Every time I hear his voice, he complained about it, man.
Literally.
That was fine, man.
30
seconds
before you said
that. That was worth the cackle.
I'm a high-level hater even of myself. Yeah. Deal with it.
Hey, all right. That was worth the cackle.
He hates himself more than he hates anybody
That's right.
else.
Yeah. You can't out-hate me. Happy Wednesday to you. In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We've been talking about the Texans. Cut down day was yesterday. They did indeed get to that 53-man cut down with some real spice in that 53. Only two tight ends, three quarterbacks, seven wide receivers. damn near 15 defensive linemen. I mean, just a very, very intriguing 53-man roster. And, of course, whenever you have an opportunity, you get to talk to the people who made those decisions. Obviously, we'll get to hear from D'Amico Ryans a little bit later today as he will talk to the Assemble Media. But earlier, Nick Caserio talked to the Assemble Media about the 53-man cutdown. And we won't play the entirety of it. However, there's a few things that really caught the imaginations of Texans fans, I imagine. I know that me listening this morning, there was like, oh, well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And one of the big ones is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is one of the best players on this team, as evidenced by being one of the six guys that you had on the top 100 list, because I feel like we're done unless something crazy happens and just all of a sudden.
Number 10.
All of a sudden, like, whoa.
Austin Brinkman.
Yeah, it's right.
He's coming right in at number 9.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden. Jaden Hicks. I didn't even know we could let rookies be on here. Christian Kirk. No, but he's one of one of those six guys. And on top of that, especially on offense, he's one of the guys that you look at and you can go, he can make a little bit of something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we weren't surprised by it, but it hit us real hard when we had the full realization that he will be on that reserve list to start the season and he will miss 4 games. And so, what does this team actually look like when you don't have him for an extended period of time? And how extended is that time period going to be? Well, who better to ask than the man who, you know, signs his checks, I guess, in theory, right? Or the guy at least who is
makes
in charge,
those decisions.
Makes those decisions, right? So, Nick Caserio was asked, and the wording of this question is very important when you get the response. And maybe I'm making a little something out of nothing myself, but you let me know. Nick Caserio, is Joe Mixon going to play this season?
Playing this year, Mixon?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll take it one day at a time, and we'll evaluate those players after 4 weeks and kind of see where they are in their progression and then make a determination.
When your mama used to tell you, we'll see, what did it mean?
It means I hope that you forget that you were asking me for McDonald's and we never come back to this conversation.
Figgy, when your mama said, we'll see, what did it mean?
It ain't happening. Or I have to think about it.
I'm not going to go that far, but we'll see has meant the same thing forever. It's leaning one way.
No, my thing is he asked about Joe Mixon, and he said we're going to evaluate all the players.
Yeah.
We ain't talking about all the players. We talk about Joe Mixon.
How about that one player right there?
Yeah.
I kept going back, and maybe I'm biased because I was listening to that doctor that we played yesterday, Morse, who's a specialist and all that stuff, and he broke it down in detail about where the injury was, what the inflammation meant. If you weren't listening, I'm just kind of recapping here, that he would be surprised if it was more. Less than 4 games, it could be half the season, and then he said, could be all the season. I don't know exactly what it is, but he knows a lot more than I do, so I kind of bookended that with we'll see, and I'm like, whew.
Because, I mean, it'd be one thing is, hey, do you know when we're getting Joe Mixon back? We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
That's very ambiguous. Is he going to play this season is a 17-plus game window.
Yeah.
We're talking about literally 4 to 5 months of, hey, window for, he can come. Like, the answer yes there is very easy. And he just goes, we'll see. Now, you can still interpret
or even,
that.
I think so, you know?
So you can interpret that a lot of different ways. And so the idea of not feeling confident enough or comfortable enough, even though I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, and I'll explain the reason why here in a second, but not being able to just be like, yes, he will play this season, but we'll find out when.
Mm-hmm.
That one has thrown a lot of people into a level of concern. Did that do that for you?
Yes. It's very obvious. I mean, I appreciate the candor because, you know, he could have danced around it a number of different ways, but it was flat out, we'll see, and then kind of shifted, you know, to what Figgy was talking about. You know, we'll evaluate all the players. It's not encouraging. It's not a be-all. It's not a definitive, he's not going to play. But when you kind of take the context of hasn't done anything, was seen in a walking boot, deep into the summer, hasn't been, active at all, that we've seen much on the field. It's definitely leaning in one direction, and it ain't a great spot.
No, it's not. And I mean, you were talking about that doctor that you would, obviously as a specialist, he seemed to imply something that, something like that midfoot injury, something maybe akin to like a Liz Frank injury. I think I've seen a number of people mention that as a possibility. And that's not a quick one. That's not a quick recovery. Mm-hmm. If surgery is necessary, supposedly recovery can extend to 3 to 6 months, which, I mean, if you look at middle of the summer, 6 months takes you damn near to the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's also very telling. I mean, they made the move to get Nick Chubb in here relatively quickly.
Yeah.
You know, so they know before anybody else. And so Nick Chubb getting here, getting the first team reps, we were all thinking what a great 1-2 punch that could be if Nick Chubb, you know, is healthy. And now we're like, okay, maybe that wasn't a 1-2 punch they were looking at. Maybe that was like, we got to cover our bases.
Right. You know? From the 8-3-2, when my wife says, we'll see, I already know I need to just turn over and go to sleep. Yeah, brother. But with that being the case, I think
I'll take we'll see.
It's called. Wow. I'm starting to understand Lopez a little bit better now. But
this season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments, Maurice's.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This does call into question, again, the way that they handle injuries as a large on a larger level. And I appreciate Landry for asking the question in the meeting or in the media press availability, because he just wanted to get this on wax. Nick Caserio, what would you say is your and D'Amico Ryans' approach to injury news?
Yeah, protect the players. So again, I mean, it's not public information. So we're trying to do, again, because here's what's happened with injuries, Landry. All right. Everybody tries to make an extrapolation about when are they ready? What are they doing? Well, you guys said it was this number of weeks, then it was early, then it was later. Like, there's no good solution. The solution is protect the players and look out for the best interest of the players. Take it one day at a time. Everybody's on a different timetable. Everybody's got a different process that they have to go through. And that's how we handle it. So again, like, other teams may handle it differently. So we just do what we feel is in the best interest of the team and what's best for the players. And D'Amico has said this. He was a former player, so he obviously has a pretty good lens. I just think sometimes, you know, there's an extrapolation that tries to get made about every little detail and about what a player is going through. Look, players are dealing with a lot. And I would say in a lot of cases, it's very mentally fatiguing and taxing for that particular player. And who else, you know, nobody else really knows what else they have going on top of their injury. So we're trying to be sensitive. Look, I understand you all have a job to do and you're trying to get information. Like, we understand that. We respect that. But we're also trying to look out for the best interest of the players, because that's what we feel our responsibility is to them.
And he was holding those reins, wasn't he? He was holding it back a little bit.
He said, listen here, buddy.
he was trying to stay in control, and but you could pick up a little bit.
I love whenever a GM or a coach said, I know you guys have a job to do. I know you got to write your little articles and your radio shows.
But, and sometimes that can be condescending. I think he does appreciate that.
No, he do. Yeah.
And they believe strongly in this. D'Amico, you can tell that, you know, with all his heart and most of his kidney, he is in this place where he goes, I want to protect my players. I don't want to expose them more. And I do think that all of this comes from a good place. I do, though, disagree with the idea that this is the only way to protect that player. Because I think that in a vacuum of information, mm-hmm. either misinformation or less than stellar information is going to take hold. Because he's like, yeah, well, I guess they think that if you don't give oxygen to the opportunity to talk about these things, that they won't exist. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to talk about these. Like, when we're not seeing Joe Mixon, we're not seeing Christian Harris, we're going to ask the question, why aren't we? And if we don't have any information from the most credible sources that we can lean on, which is Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, as to give us some insight, then we're just going to have to try and figure out and even parse even further details, that whatever details we can get, because that's the only information that we can operate off of. I think that you actually do more of a disservice, because we're going to constantly ask questions and we're going to try and find information wherever we can from maybe the less than stellar sources than rather from you directly.
No, and to be clear, I probably, if I were in that position, I'd do the same thing. I'd want to protect the player.
100%.
Not draw a line in the sand that if you fall short of that line, great. But if you go over that line, all of a sudden, you know, the sky is falling. So I would do the same thing.
Yeah, it's good for the players, too.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is you could tell he was just a little bit irritated about it all and wanted to hold it all back, because he knows, I think, anyway, my opinion, he knows that it's so unpredictable right now with Joe Mixon. You know, even as much information as they have, as he said, every this is different, every person is different. You know, and how they respond to whether it's treatment or rehab or whatever.
Yeah, and it could be a thing where maybe they don't have a real answer mm-hmm. on what's going on. Maybe it's not, and that's the part he don't want to, I guess, give the details to it.
Right.
But maybe it's something with the ankle or the foot that's not really healing how it should heal. Mm-hmm. And you can't really jump in front of the mic and just say, yeah, it's not really healing fast enough or all that stuff. So maybe he really don't have an answer.
Yeah,
and I think that you, in kind of holding whatever information, even if you don't have an information, I think or don't have an answer, I think that probably comes across. And I understand, like, the media reception of this isn't the highest priority for them. But I think that, again, you lean into opportunities for people to then question the player. Like, people have questioned Christian Harris last year.
Soft. Mm-hmm. These guys are soft.
And we don't have much to combat, because we don't have any information to say, no, this was the expectation mm-hmm. given this idea. Now, I do think that one of the things that's clearly a concern for him is, well, what happens if you end up in an Astro situation where you think you diagnose it one way and then
exactly.
you end up being wrong?
Exactly.
I think if you get to extreme portions of that, which I think the Astros have reached, you open yourself to criticism. People understand there's a little bit of wiggle room with injuries. People mm-hmm. understand that, like, the human body is not a machine to where this is absolutely going to hit this place. Hell, even dealing with machines. I took my car to the shop. They're like, oh, the car will be ready in a week. Will it be a week? Will it be a week and a half? Who knows? I understand that there's wiggle room there, but I don't think that then is the reason to then, you know, completely clear out the place of information, because I think people are a lot more understanding of, we thought it was going to be a month. There was a setback. Or we thought it was going to be a month, and actually, hey, look, the progress is better. Mm-hmm. I don't think that ends up harming the player nearly as much as we're making it out to seem there. And I think that, honestly, this vacuum of information, and of course, I understand I benefit from more information. I recognize that, I raise my hand, but this vacuum of information probably doesn't help the supposed protection of the players that I think they want. Again, yeah. I think they're coming from a great place. I just don't agree with them on that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Somebody said, early confession, Texans injury responses compared to Espada. Laughing. Okay, all right. They need to stop using the Astros medical staff. See, and that's the thing, is you open yourself up to those jokes.
He was actually more candid when he said, we'll see.
Yeah. At this point, I think I'd rather take a we'll see instead of saying, oh, he'll be back week five.
Yeah.
And then week five roll around and it's mm-hmm. like, we're not sure when he's going to.
Foot discomfort.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not necessarily, like, again, I get where they're coming from. I don't know that this really helps necessarily, but this is the MO that they've decided to take, and it leans us to the place where we go, is Joe Mixon going to be 4 weeks? Because they're basically like, 4 weeks, and we'll evaluate in 4 weeks, which actually, even that says a good amount, right? Like, in the 4 weeks, and then we'll evaluate where we are.
Yeah.
I mean, with dudes on the IR, you could start that return time, that 21-day return time before that, so that they could be ready and eligible at that 4 weeks. So the idea that we're going to come back and reevaluate in 4 weeks, that again says something. And here we are, evaluating details, because we don't have any level of set time, or not even straight set time, but anything like, this is what we're kind of thinking right now. We'll still see. That's still a possibility. That's not what we got from the Texans here. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. A lot more interesting things than Nick Caserio talked about, talking about Tommy Togiai, talking about British Brooks, and a lot of other things that we will return to as we continue on this day. But coming up next, question of the day, John Lopez. Mm-hmm. In honor, or maybe, I don't know, is honor the right word here?
Yeah, sure.
Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets, Cut. So a nice flash in the pan story with all due respect to him. Who is your favorite sports flash in the pan of all time? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Time for the question of the day. Inspired by Tommy DeVito. Tommy Cutlets, as some of y'all took to calling him affectionately. His time with the New York Giants is done. In fact, they feel like they might be close to a new era there. But we'll have that conversation and around the NFL. However, Tommy DeVito, his time is done. So he ends up being kind of a flash in the pan that I think a lot of people enjoyed. And that led to the question, what is your favorite all-time flash in the pan athlete or sports flash in the pan? Because I guess that could also happen with like a team or maybe something like that. Coach, 713-572-4610. Sports singer?
An artist is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we're focused on sports.
One hit wonders. Yeah, we're focusing on sports. Forget all that nonsense. I got so many that just came racing through my mind. You want to go way back machine first or more recently?
I mean, pick one. Yeah, we'll bounce it around.
Way back machine, Mark the Bird Fidrich. I'm not going to say I was like a big fan, but he was one of those guys I just could not watch. You know, he was just animated on the mound, Tigers pitcher. I think he won 21 games. Absolute monster.
Do they call that he got some lettuce? Is that what they call that?
He had the long lettuce, the long hair, got the money. Cover of Sports Illustrated. He was one. Charlie Kerfeld. You remember Charlie Kerfeld, old timers?
No.
From 1986.
I definitely don't remember that.
Look up Charlie Kerfeld's numbers. That dude was very animated as well.
He's I like me some numbers.
Yeah. Big time season in 1986 when the Astros won the division, made the playoffs, all that jazz. More recently, Will Fuller counts, doesn't he?
Flash in the pan. Yeah,
there were so many.
Was it that first year or second year?
Second year.
Where it was, man, that was kind of like,
I was like, this guy's a stud.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when you got
and then
with,
he's out
when you like, got with Deshaun.
Not just going somewhere else. He's gone.
Yeah, like he disappeared.
Yes.
And Will Fuller was my favorite type of athlete. Like I've learned about myself that the quickest way to my heart as an athlete is be incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. And he was just, I'm taking 9 routes or die, right? Like I'm just taking you over the top and I'm hitting you over the head with it. Mm-hmm. And he was so good at it, except the hamstrings just would not hold up now, would they?
Yeah.
That was very, very frustrating. So already on the text line, you guys coming in strong. And one pops up, which is funny because I thought about this, but I was like, actually, I was not that much a fan of the dude. It was more the phenomenon and something that happened around it from the 832, 281, 713, Jeremy Lin, Lin Sanity.
Oh, yes, sir.
And
that was the best to me, man.
It was really fun. But you know what the most fun part about it was to me? Is that NBA players on the backside were like, you know what? This ends today. This ends today. Was it the Miami Heat?
He had two weeks of really good.
And then remember the Rockets ended up signing him to a pretty solid contract afterwards. Like he was a solid player in the league. Mm-hmm. And it's a highlight.
Did he go off on Kobe too?
Because
Kobe respectfully said like he ain't know who he was like that, which nobody really knew.
He didn't know who he was.
Yeah, then I think he dropped like 38 something crazy. Like,
he had some game winners and everything. Like I think it highlights how much there's a lot less division when it comes to some of these players. And I know there's a lot of division when it comes to the best versus the worst at these leagues, but there's a lot less division than sometimes we can make. And sometimes it's just the role that you exist in.
Yeah.
Right? I can do all these things, but he's better at that. So I'm not going to do all those things. I'm going to focus on my role of, you know, playing defense or knocking down spot up shooting.
Yeah.
And then if the stars align and you have the opportunity to do that, maybe you might have 2 weeks of being the biggest thing in all of sports.
And it's in New York City.
That's the thing.
And it's in New York City.
But my absolute favorite is he got the Miami Heat, and the Miami Heat were like, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
If this happened, they was like, LeBron, you pick him up. Like, we stopping this today. Yeah. Today.
How about you guys?
The one that came to mind for me is because, look, I'm going to bring up race. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, batting down the hatches.
Switching the music.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that it was such a fun novelty, and I think we all knew it was a novelty as it was happening, so it made it even more fun. You remember that year that Peyton Hillis was really good at toting the rock?
Yeah. Oh,
he made a Madden cover, and we were all like, this is not sustainable at all.
Yeah.
We were like, this is going to stop happening, but while this is happening, let's all get involved with the white running back right here. Let's do this. Peyton Hillis was cold that year.
Yeah.
Peyton Hillis was absolutely cold that year.
I'm looking at tennis right now, and the first person I thought about, and I thought he was going to carry tennis at one point, but Nick Kyrgios.
Oh, yeah.
That brother was so entertaining. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, he
what happened? One.
That's why I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
It's. I think some of it is the mental aspect of it. Like, he has a good amount of that. And then, like, just the way that he views tennis, it seems like he's not as much of like a robot as some of the best players are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He has a lot of other interests as well.
He kind of lazy with it too.
Yeah.
Like, you can see him whenever he's not serving, you can say he don't even want to try to run and get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought he was going to be the one to kind of put tennis on the map, but make it cool and not the typical proper tennis type deal.
Yeah.
With the, you know, talking smack and all this other stuff. But I damn near forgot about Buddy.
Hey, someone said Damian Pierce. Trending.
Well,
it's trending.
We might be. That's right. You know what? I'm with Andre.
Yeah.
I'm with Andre on this one. That was to you, Lopez.
It was to you.
Some other answers that have come in. Jose Lima.
Okay.
21-10.
So Sean and I were talking about him before the show. And he is an interesting one because, yes, maybe 21-10 in 1999. He went 16-8 in 98. So he had like 2 years. But then they opened then Enron Park. He walked in there and said, yeah, that ain't great. I hate that left field wall. Sure enough, went 7-16 the first year.
Damn.
It was in his head. It was in his head. Like I said, then it was called Enron Field.
What about this one? Remember a couple years ago, this might have been around 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Remember for the Astros, the dude by the name of Tyler White?
Mm.
And we used to call him what, Big Shark or...
I forgot what it was.
Yeah. The Big White and all that stuff. Man, we were going crazy over that dude. Mm-hmm. That dude just... I don't know what happened.
Hey, does Ray Gunn count, the breakdancer from the Olympics?
No. Because she wasn't good. We was just...
That's why I'm asking.
She wasn't even the Flash.
But she was a Flash, but maybe for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it wasn't a good Flash.
Steve Slayton?
Yeah, that's one that just came in from the 832. Absolutely. Somebody said, I can't temper his name, but the last name was White. Rockets drafted him, and he was... Oh, are you talking about Royce White? Wasn't even a Flash.
He was never good. He was never good.
Did he really play with the team? Because I remember they tried to create...
Remember, he didn't travel.
Yeah, they tried to create accommodations for him to, like, bus around the league, and then it just... That
was crazy.
Ruined his relationship with the squad. A guy that drafted out of Iowa State. Why do I remember that? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But thought Royce White was going to be cold, and then just, like... And he was dealing with mental health things. I know that was... But it became so hard to try and navigate the Rockets. For, like, you know what? We're washing our hands of this.
Matt Maloney,
baby.
Yeah. Boy, he got paid for like 10 years. And he wasn't here for 8 of them.
Those are my favorites, by the way, of the Flash in the Pans, of the dude that could turn the Flash in the Pan into some money. You mentioned Jeremy Lin. How about my guy, who is a legend at the bank? You remember former Packers quarterback and then Seahawks quarterback then Raiders quarterback, Matt Flynn? Yeah, baby. Legend at the bank. He got paid off of what, like 3 games for like 6 years? I was like, shout out to Matt Flynn.
I remember that.
I love that. Some other ones that have come in. Somebody said their least favorite was Brock Osweiler. Josh Gordon. I don't even know how much that counts as flash. Because every time, well, yeah, the first year was.
Mm-hmm. He was on a legendary run, yeah, man. Yeah. That brother was at like 1,500 yards in like 12 games. Mm-hmm. He just something wild.
Mm-hmm. I felt so bad for him because that felt like a case of a dude who you could tell wanted to do right so bad but just couldn't. Like, yeah, he almost just couldn't get out of his way.
It's more of a sad story.
Yeah, really? Yeah, it is. And yeah, maybe you could say, well, you know, hey, you know, because it was like, it was the weed, wasn't it, that was getting him? He just kept getting on that weed.
Yeah.
Maybe you say that he was just a bad decision maker or whatever, but it just felt like whenever he came out and had conversations that every time he got suspended, he sounded so damn sincere about trying to get right. It felt to me like, oh, he can't help himself. Because nobody wants to be in that situation where they keep giving up all this money with all this talent.
Yeah, yeah.
But he just couldn't get right.
That brother was, I want to say, like 3 straight weeks at 200-plus yards.
Mm-hmm.
Just a
problem. On an awful team.
I don't know if y'all will even remember this one, but it's a fantastic answer. Icky Woods. Remember the Icky Shuffle?
Yeah. Bengals defensive lineman?
Super Bowl. I think he scored in the Super Bowl and did the Icky Shuffle. And then nowhere. Nowhere.
Man, there's a number of these coming in here. Yeah. Somebody said, hell no to Royce Weiss. He was trash. Is Zion considered a flash in the pan because of college? Yeah, that's the tough part. Some of the people that are coming in, I'm like, I don't even know. Like, somebody said Vince Young. And if we're including college, ain't no flash
there,
brother.
Nah.
That was a supernova.
That was a light show.
That was crazy. So we'll come back around to this. But appreciate you guys getting involved on the question of the day. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into around the NFL, talk about some of the notable NFL roster cuts, and maybe the teams most likely to make a change midseason at quarterback as we're starting to get that together. We'll do that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.